We're going to turn now to the Gospel according to Mark, and we're going to deal with the lady in this scene, but we read the whole story, and we'll do that next time too. 12 years is a long time in anyone's life. If we have a daughter or a son who's 12 years old, parents don't really remember what life was like before. They always seem to have been around. And from their point of view, of course, that is all they know. But even parents can't remember quite what it was like without the boy or the girl around the house. And so the man in this picture is the father of a 12-year-old daughter who's so near to dying that she dies while he is there talking to the woman. The woman also had had internal bleeding for 12 years. Probably it was a gynecological thing, but it would have been embarrassing. She couldn't go out in case she bled in the wrong sort of place, in the wrong sort of company. She would be always washing her clothes, and they didn't have the sort of detergents that we have nowadays. It dominated her life. She couldn't really do anything, go anywhere, without worrying about what might happen with this complaint. So these two incidents, though bound together by the number 12, are of quite different situations. So there was this woman, and Jesus had promised to go to the man's house, and all the crowd followed with him, pressing around him. And this woman joined in. Now, we don't know where she was from. She might have been a local, but reading what it says here, when she heard about Jesus, suggests that she might have come a long way. And it suggests also that though she'd had no relief from the doctors, had spent all her savings, all her working money, and they hadn't been able to do anything for her, she just got worse. There are complaints, as we know, that doctors even nowadays can't do anything for. They can try a holding way, see that we can prolong our lives. But everything she had spent her money on with the doctors, who knows what doctors did in those days. And though Luke doesn't speak quite as vividly as Mark, because Luke was a doctor, he does say that the doctors couldn't heal her and that a lot of money had been spent upon them. So here she was, and she'd heard about Jesus. Whether she'd heard 50 miles south in Jerusalem, whether she'd heard 60 miles northwest in Tyre or Sidon, we do not know anything about her. We do not even know if she was a Jewish woman. Because even though the Lord uses the word daughter towards her, which is usually used of a Jewish lady by other Jews, he might have meant a sister Christian. So here is this lady with this thing that's been dominating her life, perhaps embarrassed, perhaps even coming to this situation and actually bleeding and it going into her clothes. And there she is in the throng where it seems to me that perhaps nobody did know her. And she thinks to herself. Now, what she thinks in her heart is the key to all this. despite 12 years of incessant weakening and bleeding, her thoughts of her heart concerning Jesus, once she'd heard in him, was faith, that he was to be trusted, that he could do the things that nobody else could do. That faith was born privately in her heart and drove her on. So much so that she thought within her heart, even I can't get anywhere near the people, the crowd is so thick, but if I could just stretch out my hand and even only touch the hem, the bottom of his garment, I shall be made whole. So there is a tremendous act of faith. It's going on secretly. It's not been acknowledged. She didn't even probably know that it was faith, because the beginning of faith can be showed in so many different ways. But she said, if I can touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Later on, when Peter was ministering, people came to him and wanted to, Paul as well, touch his clothes, because the clothes were in contact with the person, and it was felt that in extreme circumstances that would be as good as being touched by or touch the Saviour. So he says, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. So she jostles about in the crowd, and eventually, probably having been pushed back a bit from time to time in the middle of the crowd, I mean, it's a woman in those days, eventually she gets to the part where she can reach somehow and just touch the hem of his garment, and immediately she was better. Now, there are certain diseases where you can know that you have passed the tipping point. Flu-like diseases, usually there is a matter when you know it's on its way up. Just that moment, it's been bad, you've been sweating, you've been ill, you felt sick, you felt dreadful, and suddenly you know it's on the way out. It's almost gone. Left you a little weak, but on the way gone. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up. It's a wonderful expression, the fountain of her blood. It speaks of the cause. Whatever it was within her body that caused all this bleeding, that was the perpetual source of the trouble, that dried immediately. Straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up. Now, in those days, during the days of Jesus' ministry, he healed many people in order to show in those days that he was the Son of God, that he had the power of God, as well as being a sympathetic man. We have these times recorded in the Bible. They don't need to be done again, so that we know that the Saviour heals. And the Saviour heals nowadays in answer to prayer, if it pleases him. He may want to be doing something different with our lives. He may be wanting to teach us something. This woman was the only woman who came in this way to see him. But the Lord has come immediately to do away with our sins. Our bodies are important, but they're temporary. Our souls are forever lasting. And the work of saving souls is still more important and more difficult, not to God, of course, but more difficult than to heal. It's always difficult to put something right that's wrong, and to put something right that's wrong with the soul of mankind is the most wonderful thing. And Jesus did it. and still does it, and does it immediately sometimes, on the preaching of the gospel. She said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now, it's hidden away there, but faith is there. She did not say, the word occurs later, she did not say, if I may touch but his clothes, I will be healed. She says, I will be made whole, not just physically, but spiritually. The Greek word uses saved. If I may touch by his clothes, but his clothes, I shall be saved. That's what she was going for. She was going for being saved out of this terrible affliction. But by using the word whole, when the Bible uses whole, it means that there's a healing both of body and of soul. And that's what she was gunning for. And that's where her faith lay. I shall be whole. So that when her body was healed, though she didn't have much time to think about it, she also was saved. And the Lord Jesus ratifies that in a little while later. So here was this woman who heard of Jesus, and in that day came and met him in very difficult circumstances, but was determined to meet with him. Many of us perhaps struggled to become Christians. The gospel preached against our sins and our wrongdoings, and we struggled, but still the Lord was very patient with us. But when there are those who want nothing more than to be saved, what a welcome they get from the Saviour. We've got straightway, immediately, and then immediately again. Mark has this wonderful phrase of making sure you follow the pattern. Straightway, the fountain of her blood was filled up, was healed, and Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him. Our translators use the word virtue in four or five occasions, two or three of them in Luke. But the Greek word again is the ordinary Greek word for power. Jesus immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him. Not that he was drained. He healed many people at once, at many in the evening when the sun was set. You remember, many came to him with all sorts of illnesses. It didn't drain his power, but he knew that power had gone forth from him into another life. And that's a lovely little clue, because we often hear of people being made better and coming to believe in Jesus, but we don't often think of the power involved. It was a tremendous power, I remember, that saved me the way I was going. And maybe you can say, yes, it was a great power of God. It's like the same, we don't talk of life. The life, the spiritual life which is within us is a most wonderfully new experience after our old way of living, and of course we'll continue into the glory. But we don't so often think of the life. We don't so often think of the power. Jesus immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him. The woman knew in herself that she was healed. Jesus knew in himself that power had gone out of him. And he turned round in the crowd, the press, and said, who touched my clothes? It wasn't a cross word. It was a nice word, an inviting word. Who touched my clothes? And the disciples said to him, you're being ridiculous. Don't be stupid. This whole crowd pushing against you all the time. We're all knocking into you. And you say, who touched my clothes? Well, Jesus treated that remark with the contempt it deserves. disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about, he took no notice, he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. So he surveyed the crowd. You remember there was once in the synagogue when the Lord Jesus looked round in anger, when they all seemed opposed to his healing someone on the Sabbath day. And to face his angry gaze as he looked round the congregation, because they all thought it was wrong to do it on the Sabbath day, and didn't care about the person concerned. He looked round upon them in anger. And now the Lord is looking round the crowd. Not in anger, but looking for the one who is afraid. Now, we often talk about, oh, this is a little woman, or a little uneducated woman. But I think, we're not told, I think she would have been too nervous to have made a public display. Even too nervous to have come and spoken to Jesus had it not been for the way that was clear. So Jesus' words looking round were kind. They were alluring. They drew this woman, though she was afraid. It's funny, isn't it? She was healed and she was wonderfully healed and she knew she was better, yet she was afraid of what had happened. Now, Cooper, in the hymn that we'll sing later, he says, she stole that virtue. She hadn't asked if she might have it. And so I suppose you could say that she stole it. I'd never thought of it like that. But she was afraid that she'd done something that she shouldn't have done in touching perhaps a man's garment or in getting some advantage that she'd not particularly asked for directly. Yet Jesus' word to her heart was, come, who touched me? I want to know who it is. Put your hand up. Make yourself publicly known that you've had benefit from me. And Jesus isn't cross. He isn't angry. He remembereth not our sins. He remembereth not our past. Jesus draws people to himself. But when Jesus looked round to see her that had done this thing, the woman, fearing and trembling. Now, Felix trembled when he heard the gospel again, and it convicted him of all the wrong things he'd done in his life. She was not trembling for that reason. She was better now. Her trembling was of awe. She feared and trembled. But she knew what had been done in her. I don't know whether she thought she'd taken this and she shouldn't have done. Cooper thinks otherwise, and some of the old interpreters think that she stole this. I don't think she did. I think it was faith. I think it was an act of faith. And I think she came to Jesus in her need, like we must each come to the Lord Jesus in our need. But she was fearing and trembling. Now you can understand that, I think. I mean, if there was a whole group of us, and a great master came among us, a great teacher, preacher, scholar, we might be rather afraid to talk, or we might be trembling at the thought that we've got to say something in their presence. Anyway, the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her. So this was an awesome thing to her, a thing that would change her life utterly. She came and she fell down before him, in front of everybody else, of course, And though the crowd had been thronging, now they obviously fell back a little bit, because Jesus had looked round and asked who it was. And she came and fell down before him, worshipped him, and told him all the truth. I love that expression. Told him all the truth. Do you know, Lord Jesus, it was 12 years ago when this thing happened to me. It came upon me gradually like this, and gradually it got worse, and I had to stop work, and I spent all my savings on one doctor and then another. Then I heard of you. Something like that, you see. Told him the truth. She fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter. Now that may imply that she was a Jewish lady. But as she was now saved, it might simply imply that she was a sister Christian. Daughter. It's a kind word. It was fresh in Jesus' mind, if I can put it like that. For the man who he was going to see and who was with him had a daughter who was 12. And here was this woman who'd had this for 12 years, and she has been healed. And he values her and calls her daughter. What an impact that must have made. But Christians very easily do forget that we are treasured by the Lord Jesus. He saved us. He's paid the price to bear the punishment of our sin. He stood there instead of us. He took us when we were in the midst of our sins, and by the Spirit called us, convicted us of sin, and brought us to himself. All this he has invested in us lovingly in order that we might be saved. We are precious to him. We belong to him. He loved us. The Father gave us to him in eternity. Daughter. And when the Lord speaks to our hearts, when we read the scriptures, it's daughter or it's son. When we read these scriptures, we go through the Gospels when we read them and see the Lord Jesus having the preeminence. And what we desire is that in all things, the Lord Jesus should have the preeminence. When we read about the wonderful things that the Saviour does, we should praise him. We should be reminded of what he's done for us. We should worship him. We should remember that it's the same Lord Jesus, yesterday, today, and forever. And though we were not in a crowd that saw his face, he deals with us in our spirit. And we're treasured as much as any of the disciples were. And the disciples didn't always get it right. We may not always get it right, but we read the scriptures and we read of Jesus. And he's risen and in the glory, but he is the same still as he ever was. And those he reaches out to, and those he saves, he draws to himself. So this is what he's doing with that woman. She didn't really want to be seen. She didn't really want to be made known in public. She had a wonderful healing, but the Lord Jesus won't have it kept quiet. He encourages her to come forward and to speak to him why she came and about what it was, so she might have an opportunity of a few moments with him, very kindly, that she might always know that she's spoken to the Saviour and that he had spoken to her. He gave her those few moments. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. You see, whole again. Thy faith has saved thee, is what the Greek says. Thy faith has saved thee. You trusted in me. That's the important thing, that in means sins are forgiven. That is the absolute most important thing. And your fountain of blood drying up is just evidence of that. Thy faith, that you came to me, that when nothing else worked, you came to me. Thy faith has saved thee. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, notice that the Bible uses an expression like that. We say we don't believe in luck. We say we don't believe in chance. But what we do believe is that all things work together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. But we do feel quite happy using the word fortunately, which is exactly the same as chance, exactly the same as luck. In fact, it's worse, because they had an idol god of Fortunatus in the Roman days. But you see, the Bible uses the expression chance. The Bible speaks from our point of view sometimes. And the Bible here speaks of kindly, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, in one sense, her faith didn't save her. She could have come to Jesus, and if he hadn't healed her, she wouldn't have been any different. But there is a need for a person to do something. If we seek the Lord, he will find us. We do have to do something. We're not entirely passive. We're passive when it comes to the power to heal, to be forgiven, to be made better, to serve. But we're active when we seek, when we need help, when we pray for that help, when we exercise faith. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Not me. I mean, it was Jesus who did it, but that's not what he emphasizes, you see. He doesn't say, well, I've made you whole, off you go. He doesn't say that. Thy faith. Faith in me. And that's brought about what I've done. But thy faith hath made thee whole, hath saved thee. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. So, it won't happen again. You can go in peace. You haven't got to worry that perhaps in a few days' time it'll start all over again. Go in peace. What I have done to you will save you and will heal you perpetually. Go in peace and be whole, be saved from thy plague. There's a passage of scripture that talks about the plague of our hearts, and that every person knows the plague of his own hearts, the habits, the things that repeat themselves. Things that though you pray that they may go, only go with a fight if they go at all in this life. We all know the plague of our own hearts. Well, the plague of her heart was healed. And the plague of her body was healed. And therefore, Jesus assures her that she's nothing to be afraid of. She didn't steal that. Well, Jesus didn't mind if it was to be looked at that way. Go in peace. Your conscience at rest. Your love, your devotion towards me encouraged. Go in peace. And we're told in Romans 5 that we have peace with God, being justified by faith. Peace with God. My peace I give unto you, said the Lord Jesus. Not as the world give I unto you, but the peace of the Lord Jesus is the peace that we know we're saved, we know he loves us, we know he's accepted us, we know he's taken our place on the cross. And despite all the things that may be thrown at us, we have peace with God. We know he's not angry with us. We know he's not cross with us. We know he's not going to put us away. We know he's not going to destroy us. We know he's not going to get fed up with us or reject us finally. So we have peace. If there was a thought that we might be done away with, or he might reject us at the end, or in life, there wouldn't be peace. Peace is an absolutely unquantifiable knowledge that Jesus is still on the throne and will remember his own. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. After 12 years. And what about the life before that began? Sinful. And even if she was a Jew worshipping in the synagogue, there's no suggestion that it meant anything to her other than formality. When we worship all the time, our mind should be going out to the Saviour, the Father and the Holy Spirit worshipping. But she'd been formal, if anything. We know nothing about her. And then this came. And clearly, the other thing we see is that unbeknown to her, the Lord was working out his purposes of what would be best for her. Now, when we are faced with things, tiredness, weakness, weariness, pain, bitterness, anything that happens to us, it's difficult sometimes not to see the wood for the trees. It's difficult to lose sight of God's plan. But God knew from eternity, and certainly knew from the day she was born, and certainly knew when the disease afflicted her, that he had an ultimate end of her salvation in mind. That he had the ultimate end of bringing her to his dear son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for salvation. She looked worse off than anybody else. Well, like Peter, you know. He loved the Lord so much, he said, can I step on the waves and come to you? And the Lord let him. But he looked down and then he began to fall. So the best disciple suddenly found himself in the worst situation. And sometimes, like this woman must have done, she didn't feel that anybody cared, anybody worried, as long as they got her money. But God always has a purpose. And it was that purpose that was leading up to the climax of where she would meet with the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course the climax of our lives is initially that we meet with the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved. And ultimately that we should be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. In the heavens where there is no sin, no pain, no curse, no trouble. May we all ourselves, without different things that are wrong, and in our different generation in which we live, be absolutely assured that the Father is leading us at all times to his Son, and ultimately to see him in his glory. Let us not fail because we are afflicted. And I'll deal with the man in this story next time I do it. Amen.